morning to the book of Genesis, chapter 1. Book of Genesis, chapter 1. I'd like to read verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The Bible does not open with an argument to prove the existence of God. It does not even open with a defense of God. And it certainly does not open with an apology for God. The Bible opens with the existence of God. It opens with the actuality and the reality of God. In the beginning, God. That is an emphatic declaration and statement of the existence and of the reality of God. In the beginning, God. That is an exhaustive statement. It is a foundational statement. In the beginning, God. This is why it's the very first words we read. It's the foundation of everything. In the beginning, God. It's not only a statement of the existence and of the reality of God. It is also a statement about who He is. In the beginning, God. He's eternal. He's in the beginning. He's self-existent. He is self-sufficient. In the beginning, God. That tells us something of His faithfulness. It certainly speaks of His omnipotence. The word God here in Genesis 1 and verse 1 is the Hebrew word Elohim, meaning the faithful and strong one. In the beginning, the faithful and strong one created. He did something. Does not that declare that He is living? In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. So He's living. As you read through the chapter, you see this fact is manifested, that God is living. We read in verse 2 that He moved. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's life. And then as you read on through the chapter, you see several things that God did. In the beginning, God. He speaks. Verse 3, and God said. Verse 9, and God said. Verse 11, and God said. You see the same thing in verse 14. The same thing in verse 24. Same thing in verse 26. God moved. God spoke. When He spoke, He did so with power. As you read through there, you'll see, and God said, let there be, and it was so. Power. Authority. He sees. He moved. He spoke. He sees. Verse 4. And God saw. Verse 10. Latter part of the verse says, God saw that it was good. We see in verse 12, the latter part of the verse, and God saw that it was good. You see the same thing in verse 18. Same thing in verse 21. Same thing in verse 25. Same thing in verse 31. God moved. God spoke. God saw. He also named things. Verse 5 says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth. God named things. We see also that God blessed. Notice in verse 28. And God blessed them. Talking about man and woman. Adam and Eve. In the beginning, God created. That makes him omniscient. He's all wise. Many, when speaking of creation, they do not like to mention the name of God. And they will call it intelligent design. Think about that. Intelligent design. Does that not also speak of purposeful design? If intelligence designed it, did so with purpose. In the beginning, God. From those words, we see that the atheist who says there is no God, the agnostic who says that God cannot be known, the polytheist who believes in many gods, the pantheist who says that all nature is God, the materialist who claims that matter is eternal and not created, and the fatalist who teaches that there is no divine plan behind anything. All of these are immediately confronted. In the very first words of Scripture, they are confronted. I mean, the atheist, he opens a Bible and it says, in the beginning, God. He doesn't like that. He can't get past the first four words without getting upset. Immediately, the enemies of God are confronted. Again, this is not an argument for the existence of God. Nowhere in Scripture does God present an argument for his existence. He simply declares that he exists. Now, chapters 1 and 2, of course, are an account of God's creation. And after God created everything, we know that everything was bliss. Everything was wonderful. Chapter 3 is the account of how the creation of God became corrupt. And really serves as an explanation for the way the world is today. Genesis chapter 3 explains that. It's not our intent this morning to speak upon the subject of creation. But we do want to take the main thought of the message from in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created. And I find there the very first words of the Bible. We have a principle for living life. The Bible is a book on how to live. It is a book on how to live your life. And this very first statement has a lot to do with our entire life, the way we're going to live our life. In the beginning, God. I want to speak this morning on the subject of a blissful life and its ruin. Notice, again in chapter 1, we have a general account of the creation of all things. 6 times in Genesis 1, we read those 3 words, it was good. It was good. That means it was beneficial. It was favorable. It was pleasant. It is good. Verse 31, we read, behold, it was very good. That is, it was abundantly good. It was remarkably good. The original creation was abundantly advantageous and beneficial and favorable. We read in verse 28 of Genesis 1, and God blessed them. Again, speaking of Adam and Eve. In Genesis 2 and verse 8, we read that the Lord God planted a garden. Imagine God planting a garden. The Lord God planted a garden. And there in that garden that he planted, he put the man whom he had formed. And in that garden, I'm talking about a life of bliss. In that garden was everything that man needed. There was an abundance for the needs of man. Notice in Genesis 1 verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you. It shall be for meat. To you. It shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. So in this garden that God planted and placed man in that garden was everything that man needed. There was an abundance. There was also beauty to enjoy. Genesis 2 and verse 9 says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. God not only made it good for food, he made it pleasant to the sight, that is, man can look at it and receive joy. It was a beautiful, beautiful place. Everything was useful. Everything had a purpose. Again, it was good for food. In this garden, Adam and Eve had dominion They had authority and command over the entire animal kingdom. They had something to occupy them. Genesis 2 and verse 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He had something to occupy his time. Something that man enjoyed. He not only had something to occupy him, I believe that Adam enjoyed immensely working in that garden. There was harmony. There was peace. There was joy. Life was a state of complete enjoyment. There was no unhappiness. There was no sorrow. There was no pain. It was a state of perfection. It was a state of innocence. And their supreme joy, I believe, was fellowship and communion with God. But again, as we read in Genesis 1, everything was very good. Life was bliss. In Genesis 1 through 3, we are introduced to life. We are introduced to God's design for living. And in chapter 3, we have man's departure, tragic departure from God's design and the results of that. This shows, Genesis 1 through 3, to me shows that life is a very serious matter. I can't think of anything more serious, than life, living. Genesis 3 tells us that life is a very consequential matter. That has a far, far reaching impact. So we have here in the first two chapters, life was wonderful. Everything was very good. But I want to notice God's design for a good life and man's departure from that design. The design for living. Again, Genesis 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God. That is not only the first and final answer to the never-dying curiosity of man concerning the origin of the universe, but as we've already said, it is a foundation. It is a foundation. In the beginning, God. It is God's design. It is God's blueprint for living. In the beginning, God is not only a declaration, not only a statement of the existence of the actuality, of the reality of God, but it establishes a foundation for living life. In the beginning, God. Those four words tell us how to live. In the beginning, God tells us how to live life. It is a statement about the purpose and the meaning of life. What is the purpose of life? In the beginning, God. What is the meaning of life? In the beginning, God. God is the purpose. God is the meaning. You have a declaration there of a fundamental truth. Not just concerning creation. If you just look at those first four words and connect it with creation, you've missed a lot. This is a foundation of everything. In the beginning, God. This is fundamental. This is essential to living life. In the beginning, God. To me, the very first four words of the Bible tell us how to live. In the beginning, God. So let's see what this teaches us about living. In the beginning, does that not speak of a starting point? In the beginning, we have a starting point. What is the starting point? In the beginning, God. This is the starting point for living life. Life must have a starting point. In the beginning, God. The first thing is God. Open your Bibles, read verse 1. The very first thing is God. In the beginning, God is like saying, first, God. First, God. Is that not the starting point for living life? First, God. If you start anywhere else, you'll never have a life of bliss. Never. This is the starting point. In the beginning, God. First, God. This speaks of priority. Life must have a priority. In the beginning, God. May I say to this morning that if God is not your priority, you have not even got to the starting point of living life like it's supposed to be lived. So this is a statement of priority. This is a statement of preeminence. It is a statement that God is to dominate. In the beginning, God. Again, this is the foundation. Again, first God. You'll notice in that first verse that the Bible does not begin with the seen. It begins with the unseen. In the beginning, God. And that is to be the starting point of your life. Not the seeing. Not what you can see with the eyes. But the unseen. The spiritual. That's the starting point. You begin anywhere else. And you are on a road of disaster. In the beginning, God does not begin with the physical. It begins with the spiritual. It does not begin with the passing. It begins with the permanent. But you observe how people live today. What is the starting point of their life? That which they can see. That's not where the Bible begins. The starting point of their life, what they center their life around, is that which is perishing. But that's not where the Bible begins. The Bible begins with the permanent, the eternal. If we're going to live right, we need to know where to begin. In the beginning, God. You'll notice that it does not begin with us. It begins with Him. And if the starting point of your life is you, you're on a road to disaster. In the beginning, God. Now there are other things in our life, of course, But two words we need to remember. First God. First God. Is that not what it is saying? In the beginning, God. It is saying boldly, without any apology, first God. That's the starting point of living life. Secondly, it is the subject. In the beginning, God. God is the subject. Life must have a subject. Life must have something to give it substance. Must have essence. In the beginning, God. He's the subject. He's not to be viewed as an alternative. He's the subject. That's how many live today. They put everything, God's an alternative. When they need something, now God's important. When their loved ones are dying, now they want to pray. Now they want a church to pray. It used to be that they would come to church. Now they can't even do that. Now they'll say, would you pray for her? But isn't that strange? And we'll pray for them. But isn't it strange? You have no time for God. And then, in your time of need, God is the alternate. He's an alternative. But the Bible simply says, in the beginning, God. He is not only the starting point of our life, He is the subject of our life. That is, He is to be at the center. He is the circumference of our life. This is foundational to living life right. God must be the starting point, and God must be the center. Everything centers around God. Well, I don't believe that. Well, how's that working for you? I know how it's working. It's not. It doesn't work. Because this is God's design. He is the starting point. And He is the subject. But in those four words, in the beginning, God, does that not also declare that God is the source of all things? He is our starting point. He is to be the subject of our life. And He is to be our source, the fountainhead of all things. Life must have a source. Creation must have a source. And God is the source. Now, when we recognize something as the source of our life, we're going to draw near to that. Whatever you consider the source of your life, you draw near to that. And if you view God as the source of your life, you draw near to Him. And you learn to enjoy the source of your life. As Adam and Eve lived in the garden, they certainly every day recognized that God was the source of all things. That God was the fountainhead of all. They recognized that everything they had was of God. They recognized everything that they would ever need was of God. It is the recognition of God as our source that puts man in a position of dependence. Man is dependent upon God. And when we recognize God as our source, we are immediately the dependent. This is how to live life. This is foundational. In the beginning, God. It says, in the beginning, God created. That speaks of authority. He is the power. behind the creation. In the beginning, God created. That tells me that He has the rule. That tells me that He has control. In the beginning, God created. He controls. In the beginning, God created tells me that God has influence. Speaks of God's authority. It is the recognition of God's authority that puts us in a position of submission and subordination. We are in a position of dependence. We are in a position of submission and subordination. This is absolutely crucial to living right. Can you see in the beginning, God, we have the very principle of living life. Adam and Eve certainly knew that God was in charge. And until Satan entered the scene, they were okay with that. The sooner you and I realize that God's in charge and we're okay with it, the better off we'll be. We not only need to recognize that God's in charge, we need to be okay with it. God's in charge, and I like that. And Adam and Eve, again, until Satan entered in Genesis chapter 3, they were okay with God's rules. They were okay with God being in charge. God gave man a role. God gave man a place, a garden. God gave man something to do. And then He set limits upon man. And He set bounds upon them. Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. That's where the emphasis was. Adam and Eve, you see all of these trees. You can eat of them. That's where the emphasis was. Now Satan changed the emphasis. And then he said, but this isn't the point of emphasis. The point of emphasis is, of every tree thou mayest eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I believe that Adam and Eve recognized God's role for them. They worked in that garden and they were having a good time doing it. They recognized that God had put limits and boundaries around about them, and life was a delight. Life was bliss. And in order to live right, we must recognize the authority of God. And we must obey, and we must yield to that authority. That is essential to living right. So we have first God. He's our priority. We see that He is also the source of our life. He is the subject of our life. And He is the authority of our life. No matter what happens in life, you keep those four things straight. God is the priority. God is the subject. God is the source. And God is the authority. You keep those four things straight in your life, and you'll have a life of bliss. Life will be wonderful. Won't be free of problems, but it'll be good. We see that man departed from God's design. Genesis 3, Eve entered into a conversation with Satan. It's always very dangerous And Satan began to sow the seed of doubt in her mind concerning God's way of living. Not only concerning God's way of living, but concerning what God had said. Satan's very good at making suggestions, planting seed. And he suggested to Eve that God was just a bit too restrictive. That God was just a bit too confining. And he planted a seed in Eve's mind that perhaps her and her husband were missing out on something. Missing out on some enjoyment. That really God was, by his rules, was robbing them of their real potential. And he suggested to Eve that if you disobey God, you cast aside these restrictions, you cast aside these bounds that God has set, and your life will be better. I mean, you couldn't get any better than it was. It was bliss. But he said, Eve, God does know that you could be like gods. And that's why God is keeping you from that one tree. By entering into this conversation with Satan, her thinking has now shifted. God is now no longer first. In the beginning, God. What is first now? That tree. Her and Adam. God is no longer first. And I don't care who you are. When God is not first, you're on a path to ruin. You're on a path to ruin. Self became a priority. God was no longer the subject. He was no longer the center of life. Self became the main thing. And now instead of God being the source, man became his own source. Oh, I could have more if I just partake of that tree. You see, everything has been changed concerning her view toward God. It is no longer about God's authority. Self becomes its own authority. Isn't it something when you show somebody the Word of God, plain black and white, and they say, "But I think." What are they saying? I'm my own authority. But I think. Genesis 3, verse 6, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, looked fine, looked as good as all the other trees, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, that thought was planted. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. They disobeyed. They departed from God's design. And immediately their life of bliss came crashing down. Their life of tranquility became a life of fear and turmoil. And chaos. Their life of fulfillment now was a life of frustration and failure. Their relationship with God, verses 8 through 10, we'll have to hurry on here. But their relationship with God was broken. And they were separated from God. Genesis 3, verse 8, they sought to hide from God. They sought to hide from God. You know, people get the most upset and the most angry. Not in a church service, but in a funeral service. You know why? Because they're trying to hide from God. And there's something about a funeral service you can't hide. You can't hide. Man can't stand that. Gets very upset. Gets very angry. And Adam and Eve are now trying to hide from God. They're living their life outside of fellowship with the Lord. They no longer had the same familiarity with God that they once had. They're no longer seeking friendship with God. Instead, they're fleeing from Him. They're no longer in agreement with God. And they flee from Him. They're now living without the enjoyment of God. Remember, in the beginning, God. He has to be all. But Adam and Eve now, having departed from that design, have lost their enjoyment of God. Not only that, their relationship with one another has drastically changed. Their disobedience brought a negative impact upon their relationship with one another. They looked at one another and they saw that they were naked. What that means is they no longer appeared to each other the same. Everything was different. What changed their relationship? A departure from God's design. Oh, I just want a better relationship with my husband or with my wife. Then live according to the design of God. You cannot depart from God's design and have good relationships. It destroys them. They no longer trusted one another. Adam blamed Eve. He blamed God. But they no longer trusted one another like they once did. Life lived outside of a relationship with God has a negative impact upon all human relationships as well. They departed from God's design, and suddenly life became more difficult. Verses 16 through 19 of Genesis chapter 3 describes that. Now there's going to be pain in childbearing. There's going to be thorns and thistles. Life has become more difficult. All because they departed from God's design. A life lived making self the priority, making self the source, making self the subject, making self the authority, is a life of rebellion against God. And a life of rebellion against God leads to chaos, confusion, and misery. Life does not have to be filled with strife. We're not going to get through this life without experiencing some strife, but that's not what I'm saying. Life does not have to be filled with strife, Life does not have to be filled with contention and bitterness. Life does not have to be filled with anger and that which is misery and gloom. Life does not have to be filled with failure and frustration. God has given us a right way to live life, a life of blessedness. In the beginning, God. Again, I pray that we would never look at those four words again, just connected with creation. But I see a pattern. I see the principles for living life. Genesis 1 and 2, we are introduced to life. And something I just noticed this week. Notice, if you go to the last verse, the book of Genesis, Genesis 50, verse 26. We're introduced to life in the first two chapters. So Joseph died, being 110 years old. And they embalmed him. He was put in a coffin in Egypt. Genesis 1 and 2, we have an introduction to life. And where does it end? A coffin. That's where it ends. But between the beginning of life and the coffin, that's called living life. There's a life to be lived between those two. It's different for all of us. We all live different amount of years. But in between birth and the coffin, there is a life to be lived. And it is a very serious matter. And we have it all laid out in those first four words. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. Next time your thoughts begin to wander away from God, away from God's design for living, think of those four words. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. He's my starting point. He's my source. He's my subject. And He is the authority of life. And you live your life recognizing those four things, I'm telling you, it'll work a lot better than trying to do it any other way. Brother Larry, if you'd come.